Chapter 49. Verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Come together, that I may tell you what is to befall you in days to come." This chapter is popularly thought of as Jacob blessing his sons, but his words are more prophecy and moral criticism than blessing. Though many of Jacob's predictions may not have significance to us today, they would have meant a great deal to the ancient Israelites who still retained tribal identities. Verse 2. Assemble and hearken, O sons of Jacob, hearken to Israel, your father. Verse 3. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and first fruit of my vigor, exceeding in rank and exceeding in honor. Verse 4. Unstable as water, you shall excel no longer. For when you mounted your father's bed, you brought disgrace, my couch he mounted. Jacob cursed Reuben. You shall excel no longer, for sleeping with his, Jacob's concubine Bilhah, following the death of Rachel. Genesis chapter 35, verse 22. Here, as in several other of his blessings, particularly to his three oldest sons, Jacob rebuked his sons for vile behavior. Verse 5. Simeon and Levi are a pair. The Hebrew actually states Simeon and Levi are brothers. All of Jacob's sons are brothers, but these two were linked as partners in crime. The importance of Jacob's condemnation of Simeon and Levi. Verse 5 continued, their weapons are tools of lawlessness. Verse 6, let not my person be included in their council. Let not my being be counted in their assembly. For when angry, they slay men, and when pleased, they maim oxen. As Genesis chapter 34 relates, Simeon and Levi avenged the rape of their sister Dinah by killing not only Dinah's rapist, but all the male inhabitants of Shechem as well. Although Jacob did not condemn them on moral grounds at the time, Genesis chapter 34 verse 30, he did so now. This condemnation is important and impressive. It is another example of the Torah's preoccupation with good and evil. Not Jew and non-Jew, believer and non-believer, rich and poor, family and non-family, or any other non-morality-based division of humanity. Jacob's harsh censure of Levi in particular provides another example of the historicity of the Torah. The Levites became the most elite tribe in Israel, among whom were the priests, Kohanim, God's elect, who enjoyed a privileged status because of their role in the temple service. Given this exalted status, had the Torah been written in a later period, it is unlikely to have depicted Levi in such a negative light. On controlling anger. Verse 7. Cursed be their anger so fierce, and their wrath so relentless. Anger is directly related to both good and evil. The difference is the answer to five questions. What am I angry about? Is the anger justified? Is the anger proportionate to the offense? What behavior will my anger lead me to do? Do I control my anger, or does my anger control me? Jacob condemned Simeon and Levi because they allowed justified anger to lead them to unjustifiable behavior, mass killing. Whether people get angry is not what reveals their character. It is what they get angry about and how they express it. A Talmudic saying states we can judge a person by how he acts with regard to his pocket, his anger, and his cup. Pocket refers to monetary matters, and cup refers to alcohol. The Hebrew is a play on these three words, which sound almost identical. Kiso, his pocket, kaaso, his anger, and koso, his cup. Telushkin makes a compelling argument that people with bad tempers who tell themselves they cannot control their anger are usually deceiving themselves. Mugging victims, for example, feel intense anger at their mugger. But virtually all of them, even those with bad tempers, politely hand over their money rather than curse or fight the attacker. They control their behavior, proving they can do so when they want to. Telushkin offers a second example. If people with anger issues were offered $1 million to significantly reduce the number of times they expressed excessive anger over a 6-month period, most would become adept at controlling their temper. But in the absence of $1 million incentives, people destroy marriages, family relationships, and friendships, things worth far more than $1 million. This was Jacob's message to Simeon and Levi. They chose not to control their rage. Therefore, cursed be their anger so fierce. Verse 7 continued, I will divide them in Jacob, scatter them in Israel. Verse 8, You, O Judah, your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the nape of your foes. Your father's sons shall bow low to you. Judah received a particularly favorable blessing, second only to that of Joseph. Judah's character was demonstrated by his acknowledgment he was guilty in the incident with his daughter-in-law Tamar, Genesis chapter 38, verse 26, and in becoming the brother's spokesman when Jacob feared parting with Benjamin, Genesis chapter 43, verses 2 through 5. In addition, it was Judah who convinced Jacob if the family did not go to Egypt, it would perish. And it was Judah who pledged to safeguard Jacob's youngest son, Benjamin. Finally, in Egypt, it was Judah's speech, the longest in Genesis, that moved Joseph to forgive his brothers. Chapter 44, verses 18 through 34. Beginning with King David, all legitimate rulers of Israel, up to and including the Messiah, were and will be from the tribe of Judah. Verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. On prey, my son, have you grown. He crouches, lies down like a lion. The phrase Lion of Judah comes from this blessing. The lion became the symbol of the tribe of Judah. Verse 9 continued, Like the king of beasts, who dare rouse him? Verse 10, The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Gunter Plaut notes that Jacob's blessing of Judah focused on the future, because God's designs for the Jewish people would be carried out through him. The tribe of Judah survived the Babylonian destruction and deportation of the Israelites in 586 BCE. It made the survival of the Jews possible. It is from Judah that the Jews get their name. Verse 10 continued, Nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, so the tribute shall come to him, and the homage of peoples be his. Verse 11, He tethers his ass to a vine, his ass's foal to a choice vine. He washes his garment in wine, his robe in blood of grapes. Verse 12, His eyes are darker than wine. His teeth are whiter than milk. Verse 13, Zebulun shall dwell by the seashore. He shall be a haven for ships, and his flank shall rest on Sidon. Verse 14, Issachar is a strong-boned ass, crouching among the sheepfolds. Verse 15, When he saw how good was security and how pleasant was the country, he bent his shoulder to the burden, and became a toiling serf. Verse 16, Dan shall govern his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 17, Dan shall be a serpent by the road, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heels so that his rider is thrown backward. Verse 18, I wait for your deliverance, O Lord. Verse 19, Gad shall be raided by raiders, but he shall raid at their heels. Verse 20, Asher's bread shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. Verse 21, Naphtali is a hind let loose, which yields lovely fawns. Verse 22. Joseph is a wild ass, a wild ass by a spring, wild colts on a hillside. Verse 23. Archers bitterly assailed him. They shot at him and harried him. Verse 24. Yet his bow stayed taut, and his arms were made firm by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. There the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Though the rock of Israel is a well-known description of God, it even appears in Israel's Declaration of Independence, the expression does not derive from this verse, in which the word is stone, Evan. It comes instead from in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, where the word is rock, Zur. Verse 25. The God of your father who helps you, and Shaddai who blesses you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that couches below, blessings of the breast and womb. Verse 26. The blessings of your father surpass the blessings of my ancestors to the utmost bounds of the eternal hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the elect of his brothers. Verse 27. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he consumes the foe, and in the evening he divides the spoil. Verse 28. All these were the tribes of Israel, 12 in number. And this is what their father said to them as he bade them farewell, addressing to each a parting word appropriate to him. Verse 29. Then he instructed them, saying to them, I am about to be gathered to my kin. Bury me with my fathers in the cave which is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. The Torah frequently uses this expression, gathered to one's kin, to refer to death. It almost definitely alludes to the existence of an afterlife. The commentary about this phrase in the afterlife is at Genesis chapter 25, verse 8. Verse 30. The cave which is in the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, in the land of Canaan, the field that Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. Chapter 23 first described Abraham's negotiations with Ephron the Hittite for the cave of Machpelah. The Torah states again and again, this land, the first formal acquisition of land by Jews in Israel, was purchased legally, and it therefore belongs to the Jewish people. It is referred to yet again in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 50, verse 13. Verse 31. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried. And there I buried Leah. Verse 32. The field and the cave in it bought from the Hittites. Verse 33. When Jacob finished his instructions to his son, he drew his feet into the bed, and, breathing his last, he was gathered to his people. The Torah is, among other things, the story of the Jewish people, not of any one individual. It is therefore appropriate Jacob does not die at the very end of Genesis, but in the penultimate chapter. The last chapter will continue the story of the Israelites. The one exception fittingly is Moses, whose death is recorded at the end of the final chapter of Deuteronomy, the last book of the Torah. Death is described here as gathered to his people. Once again, it cannot mean being buried near one's people. None of Jacob's people were buried in Egypt, and as being gathered to his people takes place immediately upon breathing his last, it clearly preceded burial.